Amen. I'd like to greet you in Jesus' precious name. It seems like it's been a little while since I was here for some reason. I think last Sunday we had the camp out and we weren't there, but we were at another Slaymaker one. And then yesterday we were at a Kurtz one, and then we have another Weaver one this afternoon. And so it's family time. And I was thinking, there's some things shared yesterday that struck me, and it was in regards to somebody follows you, your children, your children's children, and you're affecting people if you don't know it, because the things you do, people are watching. Anyway, Titus, you're my man. Thank you. The devotional leader gave an illustration or a thought. Over in Germany, I think there's a black forest. They cut down these trees, and they make clocks or something special in wood about them. And these are craftsmen. And one of the things that they do, every time they cut a tree down, they plant one. They plant a tree. And he said, and the reason they plant a tree is so their grandchildren or great-grandchildren can harvest a tree. And the question that I'm going to ask you is, are you planting a tree? Are you planting a tree? And I began to realize our children are watching us. I have a little show and tell here today that we came back from a trip from Minnesota, and a fan wasn't working in our chicken house. And so I went and checked it out. Looked good. I mean, I fed my pigs at Sunday night and called my son. And I said, hey, were the fans running Saturday night? He said, yeah, I think so. And so I said, well, I'll check it Monday. So Monday came around, I checked the van, greased it up, everything seemed fine. Then I realized the next fan wasn't running either. And then I found this. Most electricians, would you say that's a good receptacle? Right? I wouldn't think so. It had pretty good fire going on there. And that breaker there was not blown. I mean, it did not flip. But because these two fans were running, the one up at the main branch, main panel, flipped, and it stopped. And I thought to myself, there's fire here. There was no question there's fire here. And when I saw this, I thank God that we still had a chicken house. And I began to realize, do we thank God, do we see God in our everyday life? Do we convey that to our children? Are you planting a tree? Do you understand what I'm saying? This past week, oh man, you're also a good man. Now I'm really going crazy. Thank you.
Might help your belly, huh?
Well, you're good. All right. That's too much information. Yeah. This past week, Wednesday morning, I was drinking my coffee at my table, and our house shook. I mean, it just, and it was so much so, my wife came running downstairs and said, what happened? And I said, I don't know. It seemed like somebody hit our house. So I got out, and I walked around the house. And lo and behold, my neighbor was out on her patio. And she said, what happened, John? I said, I don't know. I said, well, what? She said, our whole house shook. And so I made some phone calls to neighbors, and different neighbors were all saying their house shook. And I found out, I think James texted me and said their house shook. And I was thinking, well, then we found out that the Raffer Township building blew up. And that's 9 miles from our place and 8 miles from James's place. And we started getting pictures I called a friend who worked there, and he wouldn't answer his phone. And that went through me because I thought he may have been part of this, you know, and we didn't know the details. And anyway, I talked to him yesterday. I called him, and he gave, and this is what he said. It's a miracle. Nobody was hurt. I mean, as far as nobody was killed. I mean, this building, they opened the door, smelt LP, and saw LP heater on the ground, in the floor. He closed it and told everybody to get away. They wanted to turn off the electric, but if they turned the electric off, the generator would kick in. So two guys went into the main house, into the main office. One was in the basement, and the other guy was standing at the door, and it blew while he was there. And he said the door was ripped off the hinges, and he didn't feel a thing. He didn't feel a thing. They said a pickup was coming up the road and blew airbags and broke windows and it's astounding. And my friend said, it's a miracle. Give God the glory. No one was killed. The potential was all there for it. So my question to you is, how many here have lost something with your children and you say, let's pray? How many did that? I did it. And did you find it? I did. I found it. And so what I'm driving at is, are you planting a tree to your children? Do they see that you have a living faith? Do they understand that you believe in God? You know that He's here to help you. I have the saying, you probably get tired of it, but God is everything. And I don't say that in jest, I say that in reality. Because without Him, you have nothing. And I tell a lot of my customers that same phrase. I said, God is everything, and I said, we're living in a land where they're trying to take God out, and you will end up with nothing. And I have yet to have anybody argue with me, because they all agree. But it's probably because we are in an area that has a fear of God yet. There's some areas that don't have that. And we need to be thankful for what we have. All right, for a message this morning, my mind was drawn to the Beatitudes. I want you to turn to Matthew 5. I'm going to read the first few verses here. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to thank Bruce for sharing the thing that, when in regards to love, you cannot give love unless you experience love. And there, remember the illustration I gave about the can? Remember the standing on the can? You need to be filled with Jesus Christ and sealed with the Spirit to be able to withstand trials and heartaches. But it's that love of God in you that's going to be able to help you make right choices. And I do appreciate and value the fact that we're not a finished product. We are growing. But you have to be walking in the right direction to be able to be growing. And another thing that you want to remind yourself of, and that you want to, because good manners. If you're not people that have a love for God, a word, you're in trouble. It's not going to come out right. And I have seen that happen. Mine, you know. Anyway. All right. So the Beatitudes. I like the thought about the Beatitudes is that if you would break it down into lay terms, it's called beautiful attitudes. A beautiful attitude. And when I read these Beatitudes here, these are the characteristics or these are the traits of God's children. I'm going to just read what I have broken down here, what I have put down here. And that is, a person who has this relationship with God has a broken spirit. They have a penitent spirit. They are mild-tempered, or they're gentle spirit. They are hungering and a thirsty spirit. They have a compassion or a merciful spirit. They have a pure spirit. They have a spirit of wisdom and meditation. They're long-suffering and forgiving spirit. There's these, I think it's nine of these Beatitudes that if you aren't experiencing these Beatitudes or these better attitudes, you better examine your relationship with Jesus Christ. You better say, Lord, help me, because you're not going to be reflecting God's kingdom, and God's not going to be pleased. You're going to be the loser. You're going to be the one that's coming up short. Now, I have the interesting thing when reading this, it's kind of like a paradox. You know, they say one thing and this happens over here. It's a little bit like Bruce was saying, the world doesn't understand this. It doesn't understand how we're supposed to love our enemies. What? You gotta be kidding. I mean, when I have a customer right now that owes me a decent amount of money, and another neighbor heard about it, and he came over here and he said, you gotta go after this guy, you know. You gotta take him to court or do something. And I said, I'm trying to work with him from the standpoint of helping him. Like, for instance, I would text him and say, I expect better from you. And he responds, because I think his conscience is working yet, thank God. And so, it's over a year deal, but I still feel that somehow he will see God's working in his life, and he will come around. And, to me, money is not everything. What really is everything is if a person finds their walk with God and finding salvation in Jesus Christ. And I know one thing. If I would take this guy to court, I don't think he'd want to talk to me anymore in his life. It wouldn't happen. But by exemplifying a life of love or compassion or mercy or whatever, hopefully he'll see. Hopefully he'll understand. It was interesting. He told me he had a son that had issues. I think it was drugs and everything else. And he wanted to know who I'd recommend to help. And I said, well, you need to pray about it. And you need to get close to a church. You need to. And so it's interesting. He came to me for help from that standpoint. So you understand what I'm saying? If we do the world's methods, it's not going to come out right. It really would not. All right. I'd like to say this, that God is a God of hope. And God has given us so much that he wants us to be happy. You know, these blessed, if I understand right, the word blessed means happy. So he wants us to be happy in the Lord and find rest and peace and joy. But we have our part to do to be able to experience that. And I'm hoping I'm not trying to stretch too much here, but I'm going to try and talk about the Beatitudes of Revelation. Revelation is a book that is a book of judgment. And we are going to run through this. I'm hoping I whet your appetite enough that you start searching it out yourself, because you can turn to Revelations 1:3. That is the first Beatitude of Revelation. And reads like this, Revelations 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's three things there. It says, we read it, we hear it, and we keep it. We live it. And if we do those things, we're going to find a blessing. We're going to find happiness, which I'm going to go down a little bunny trail. I have a real problem with people who are professing Christians, and they, let me put it this way. I get on the road a lot, and I pay attention to the road, people coming at me. You know, there's a lot of sick people, I mean, unhappy people in this life. I mean, you can see it while they're driving. I mean, it's one thing when I can see somebody joyous, but that's very rare. Most of the time, it's a frown, it's a steady gaze, it's just, you know, it's sad. But God's children should have the joy of the Lord in their life, and they should be able to exuberate it to anyone they come in contact with, because that is the opposite of the world. And you can only find that in Jesus Christ. And that is by filling yourself up with truth. Because we know where truth is. We know where we're going to stand. We know what life is all about. And we had this situation here when we went through the book of Revelation. And there was a young fellow. He was reading the book of Revelation. And an old man came along and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Yeah." And he went over to the other old man and said, "Hey, this guy understands what he's reading." Came over here and said, "Well, tell us, what do you understand?" He said, "God wins." So that is the joy of God's people. God's going to win. But we have to make sure that we are filling ourselves up with truth and the word so that we can exuberate this joy that God wants us to show. All right. In Luke 21:36, who wants to get that?
Luke 21:36.
All right, Luke 21:36. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to get a couple more. Romans 12:1-2. And 2 Timothy 3:12-13. All right. Okay, Les, what does Luke 21:36 say?
"Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man."
So, watching and praying is a key factor in being prepared or ready for when the Lord comes again. And the question, I can't answer for you, but the question is, are you doing that? Are you spending enough time, you know, watching and praying and having this relationship with God so that you can be ready? All right. The second thing that struck me out with this first blessing is there's a lot of things that will come and go in life. We're going to have governments come and go. We're going to have politics that come and go. We're going to have, all sorts of things that happen. Your job's going to change. You're going to move into another house. You know, we're contemplating that. And there's just a lot of things that will change. But I can guarantee you God's word will not change. And also I can tell you this, that God is on the throne and he has no intentions of getting off. And the world would like to make you think that everything's wishy-washy and fuzzy and all this. It's not that way. Not with God. God is solid. God is real. All right, the second one, or the thing that struck it, and if you know my phone number, what does 7 mean? 7 means what?
Perfection.
Perfection. It means full, complete, perfection. Right. And guess how many blessings in Revelations are? There's 7. Just try not to get you too far down the land of La La Land. If I see too many people sleeping, I'm going to have everybody stand. All right, the second candlestick, Revelation is 14:13. I won't call your name out yet. All right, 14, verse 13, reads like this. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which are in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I don't think any of us really want to die. I mean, death doesn't seem like a real great thing to be doing. At least that's what we would want. We like to live, at least I do. I like to see things happening. But I like to see things happening for God, for God's glory. So, what is important? Romans 12, 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So we find happiness through dying. Dying to self. Does that make sense? You know, we were talking about paradox. In God's kingdom, we have to die to self. And, okay, 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
I've given that verse out to quite a few people because we are living in that day. We have evil men are just getting worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is God's word telling us. This is true. This is truth. So we have to make sure that we are being filled with truth so that we can withstand the pressures of the world. All right. I'm trying to think here. Mark 13, 32 to 37. Who would like to grab that? Ed, Mark 13, 32 to 37. And you weren't sleeping. Don't misunderstand me. let's Revelation 16, 15. It says here, Revelation 16, 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." What's that scripture, Ed? When I read this portion about, you know, being blessed, I had a little bit of a hang-up because it says here, "He that watcheth and keepeth his garments." And I was trying to figure out what that meant. We're not going to go down that bunny trail right now, but I came across a translation, and I read it, and I thought, this does well. All right, I'm going to read the same verse. "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake." Everybody awake? "Stays awake and who keeps his clothes." That is, stays spiritually ready for the Lord's return so that he will not be naked, spiritually unprepared. A man will not see his shame. So we have to be awake. We have to be alert. We have to keep our clothes on. And I'm not sure how many here ever dreamt that was otherwise, and it's not a very good dream to have. But if you're human, I think you might fall into that category. All right, let's go to Revelation 19, 9. 19, verse 9. I'm just trying to think here. All right. Revelation 19:9, it says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto him, These are the true sayings of God." In Matthew 22, it talks about the king who creates a wedding meal. And he invites all his people, and they come up with excuses. "I bought a farm, I bought a cow, I did this, I did that." And so he said, "Well, go out to the highways and byways and bring them in." And the thing that struck me is, blessed is the man who understands the importance of God's calling. When God calls you to something, you better do it, because you're going to be the loser if you don't. So happy is the person that sees the invitation of God as an exciting, as something that you must get a hold of so that God can bless you. All right, Revelation 20, verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I was trying to think of what, you know, this resurrection thing, some would say it's a rapture, some would say whatever, but I really wonder, you know, it could be new birth. It could be your new birth. Or it could be when Christ comes again and we're resurrected from the dead. So the thing that I guess I want you to understand in this scripture, that I know that there's an old saying that says dead fish go downstream. And if you want to be coming out right, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to take, it's going to take effort. It's going to take work to be able to fight the tide of the world that's pressing in on us. So we need to be holy. We need to be a part of this resurrection that God has planned for us. And we can't just fold up our hands and go downstream, because it will not work. We need a victorious Christian life. I was thinking of reading a portion of scripture here in 1 Thessalonians. And it reads, 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So we know that if we are victorious Christians, God will raise us up. We will be able to be with God. Now, let's go to to Revelation 22. Chapter 22, verse 14. And it reads like this: "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city." I think I skipped one. Yep, 22:7. Thank you, Bruce. 22:7. And that verse reads like this: "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So basically it goes back to obedience. Now the thing that's interesting, this word in here, this is what I didn't want to miss. It says, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." That word, E-T-H, keepeth, it's an active word. That means it's something that's being done regularly, all the time. You are actively engaged in keeping the Word of God. You're living it. And if we don't do that, you know, we're the loser. And now I jumped the gun here a little bit on the next one. I was made to think that hearing's not enough. We have to live it out. And the thing that strikes me a little bit is God is calling everyone to repentance. I have an acronym for repentance, and I'm not going to put on the board, and that is repent. And that you know that a person has repented. They repent when they return to God, because we've been cast away from God, and God has made a way for us through Jesus Christ to return to Him through Jesus Christ. So when a person repents, they return to God. E, they empty themselves. Like we were saying, love is an empty of self. It's a filling of God's love in us. And P, they purge themselves of sin. That means if you are battling with pornography, you're battling with reading a lot of novels, watching something you shouldn't be watching, you know, you need to purge yourself of those things. You must purge yourself from sin. E, you need to lighten yourself in truth. In other words, fill yourself up with the Word of God, like we were saying with the can. Fill yourself with the Word. And then we need to, after you fill yourself up with the Word, you need to nurture this relationship with Jesus Christ or with God. And you can do that with the Holy Spirit. And T, you need to take responsibility. I met too many people who, when they have problems, they have issues. And they want to blame their parents. Or they blame the church they came from. Or they blame a worker. Or there's all sorts of things you can blame things for. The greatest thing a person can do is take responsibility and say, Lord, help me. I'm here. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I need help. And so take responsibility. And those are the characteristics of a repentant person, which is what God wants. I would like to help you understand something. We have God is an interesting God. We're going to call this is time, okay? When God created man, what was in the garden? Tree of life. The tree of life. Man has fallen away from God. The only way you can get back to God is through Jesus Christ. And guess what? We get the tree of life again. He made full circle. The tree of life is something that's very special. I have no idea what it all involves or what it tastes like or anything, but I do know that it's very important because God wants us to have it. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. I'm going to go down a little bunny trail. And this is a bunny trail that I came across this morning. We all have issues. We all have things that can get in our way. This is a little track. You know, it should be bigger, but it's a dollar bill. Usually it should be $100 because dollars aren't worth as much as they used to be. But it says, what money can buy? I want you to think this through. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusements, but not happiness. A crucifix, but not a savior. A church pew, but not heaven. What money can't buy, Jesus Christ can give freely without charge. Is he your Lord and Savior? If not, you can get a new lease on life right now. Confess to God that you have sinned and that you want to turn your sins to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord of your life. Through this step of believing faith, you can start life afresh with your sins forgiven and your new life in Christ. God wants you to be happy. That's why he said blessed. But the question is, do you have the beautiful attitude that God wants you to have? Are you experiencing that? In a nutshell, I'm just going to give this as a little conclusion. With these Beatitudes in Revelation, we must hear and keep the word. 1:3. We must be faithful unto death. 14:13. We must watch and remain pure. 16:15. We must hear and obey the gospel. 19:9. The faithful are granted eternal life. 20:6. And we must obey what is written. 22:7. And the obedient will enter heaven. My cry is, are you experiencing what God wants you to enjoy? Because he does want us to be happy. He's given us everything we need to have it. And the question is, am I? My prayer is that if you aren't experiencing that, please let someone know. Because life is too short. This past week, I'm hoping to go to a viewing this afternoon to a friend of mine who helped me think straight. But you might not think he's not a Mennonite. And but this man, in my mind, in many ways reflected Jesus Christ. And to me, that's what matters. Are you reflecting Jesus Christ? Are you planting the tree for your children to see that you have this relationship with God that's real and alive? May God help us. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again to thank you for the love you've shown to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the Beatitudes that you have shown us. And we just pray, Father, that you might help us to be honest and humble and holy before you so that you can receive the glory from our lives and that the world can see you in us and that some way people will have a desire to know you better for what you've done for us. We pray, Father, that you might forgive us where we have failed. Help us to just be a mirror image of Jesus so that the world can see you. Now we pray, Father, that your Spirit would work through this group here this morning. And we ask that if there's someone who's not right with you, that they would make their calling election sure. And we also pray, Father, for those that might be sick among us. We ask that you might heal them according to your will. And we just pray that you might just help us as we go from here to give glory to your most holy name. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.